Somebody lost their water bottle.
It's like losing your keys in the parking lot. Somebody's got to claim it. Well, good morning and happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. It's nice to see everybody that's here today. For those of you that are worshiping with us for the first time or you've been here a few times before, we're glad that you've come back. For those that make this your church home on a regular basis, we're so glad you're here, especially on a holiday weekend. Also, you can find all a wealth of information in your bulletins today. The Harbinger was recently sent out and received at home, which has a lot of information in our calendar, as well as the church website. So if you're so inclined, please check out these resources for more information about who we are as a church. During the morning offering this morning, the hospitality register, the notepad, will be passed through the pews. Please sign if you would, comment as you wish to, pass it back, and if you're not familiar with who you're sitting next to, take a look and introduce yourself at some point during the service or afterwards. And after service today, out on the patio, our deacons will host conversation and punch, so please stick around, have a nice, enjoyable conversation on a somewhat summer day, even though it's a little bit cool for this time of year, but we'll take it. And if you have any questions about our worship service, Elder Carrie Dykes will be at the communion table after worship to receive any comments or thoughts that you have. A few announcements this morning. Whit, you're on the list. There you are.
A week from this coming Saturday, the 14th, we will be hosting a mobile food pantry for Food Link here at Gates Presbyterian, and we would like volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk. You could expect to start at 10:30, and we should be through by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and in case of rain, we do expect we'll be inside. Thank you.
Good morning. In 2 weeks, on the 15th, we will kick off our program year. So Sunday school teachers and youth advisors will be commissioned during worship, and it will be the first day of Sunday school for all ages. Letters with more information are going to be sent home to families this week if you've been curious about things. It's coming in the mail. So our youth group kickoff party will be later that evening at 6, and this year our theme is Happiness is Homemade. We need your help to pull this off. So the main way you can do this is by heading to the kiosk after worship and going to our sign-up sheet. Sign up for either a dinner dish or a dessert. And I'm also requesting that you bring a note for us to read to the youth at the party with your wishes for them as they embark on another year of fellowship and faith formation together. Our congregation, I think, really, really supports the youth program, but a lot of times I don't think that the youth directly feel that, so I thought this could be a cool way for them to have some, like, direct words from you guys as a congregation. Thank you so much.
Those were the only two that signed up for announcements. Does anybody else have anything they wish to share at this time? Just one word about the worship today. We are having communion by intention. So when the communion servers come forward shortly after that, that's your cue to just come in, fill in, and receive the elements as you wish. There will be no formal gathering of the pews. So feel comfortable at any point to come up and partake. And it is my proud pleasure this morning to reintroduce our guest pastor this morning, the Reverend Dr. Rod Frohman. Rod has been with us on several occasions before. He will be with us again next Sunday. So if you have not heard Rod preached before, you're in for a treat. If you have heard Rod preach before, as you well know, you do need to pay special attention because at any moment in a sermon, you will see him stop. So just a heads up with Rod, but he's an excellent and a welcome guest. So thank you, Rod. At this time, let us gather our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our entire beings as we worship our great God together. I'm sorry, one other point I forgot to mention. If you do have a cell phone, would you please turn it off or silence it at this time? That would be much appreciated. Thank you. And as you are able and comfortable, would you please rise and join me in the call to worship? On this journey of expectation, draw us together in unity, that our praise and worship might echo through these walls and also through our lives. Draw us together in mission, that the hope within my song we sing. Draw us together in service, that the hollow might lead us from a sanctuary to a word of peace and justice. Would you now join me in the prayer of confession you'll find printed in your bulletins? Holy God, we are quick to blame. We love to point the finger. We are involved in a complex series of rationalizations, grudges, and revenge in our homes, our workplaces, our community, and in the world. Send your Spirit, O God, that we have discernment of both our complicity and our responsibility in the hurt that is all around us. Give us the power to extend our hand in friendship and forgiveness. Amen. Let us now take a moment to confess our silent prayers. Amen. God's love for us is ever sure, given in mercy. Gratefully, thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Anyone else? Come on, guys, have a seat right here. Right here is good. Yeah, right there. So happy September. Today is the first day of a new month. Anyone starting school soon?
I'm in kindergarten.
You're going to start kindergarten?
I'm in it.
Oh, you're in it. Yeah, what day do you start?
Felix, you're talking so much. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. How about out here? Anyone headed back to school? Yeah? Yeah, that's awesome. I started school too. So what are some things that you're excited about with going back to school?
Reading
is awesome, yeah. Yeah, anything else you're excited about?
I do most of the things in school.
Maybe like meeting new friends, catching up with old friends. How about the adults in the room? What's on your mind as we begin a new month together? Anyone? No better than the kids. So there's something on my mind as we begin a new month together, and I think this is something God would like us to consider too. And also the title for my children's sermon today. It's called Ready for Service. As we start our new month together in our church and our school communities, I challenge all of you to think about how you can get ready to be of service to others. And you guys can think about this by yourself or maybe brainstorm as a family. You can put it up on a list on your fridge at home. But I think it's a good challenge for someone of any age. So my question for you is, how can you be ready to help others? You have a new friend? Oh, that's wonderful. So how can you get ready to maybe help your friend? What can you do to help your friend?
She went to VBS with me, and we played together.
You played together. Okay, playing together is a really nice thing to do with friends. So getting ready to help others. Use your eyes, right? If someone needs help, you can give them a helping hand. And I know you can do this, James and Owen. It could be as simple as someone dropping something and you can pick it up and return it to them. Other examples may be set the table while your parents are making dinner or help carry in the groceries. At school, you can use your eyes to watch your classmates. If somebody looks sad, be prepared to ask them if they are okay and if they need a friend. It sounds like you're a really good friend. This one is for my younger friends, too. If you are happily playing with a toy and there is a boy or girl who doesn't have a toy yet, you can ask them to play with you or give them a turn playing with your toy. So again, let's go back to this challenge I'm giving both to you and everyone in this congregation. I think a great way to begin your challenge to be of service to others is by starting each day and reminding yourself to try extra hard to be a helper, both in the short term or by planning ahead. I know some of us are more capable of that than others. We are all in need of support and help at different times, and if we keep that in mind, hopefully a helper will show up to help you when you are in need. So let's close with a prayer. Repeat after me. Dear God, your love is all around us. Please help us get ready to be a helper to someone else by watching what is needed and sharing our gifts of love. We will lift up each other in joy and your grace. Amen. You guys can return to your dad.
Hollywood's carousel, in reality, has no place in worship. I pray that everyone in this hallowed place truly believes that when you walk with our Lord, you never will walk alone. be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. This is titled, The Potter and the Clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that it will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But is that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring upon it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I have intended to do to it. Now, therefore, says the people of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from evil and turn evil away and amend your ways of your doings.
The second reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming when you least expect him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Labor Day weekend is often the last time for the big family reunion, time of getting together. School is still technically out. Vacation is still technically in. It's the last gasp for summertime family fun. And for this and other extended family gatherings, there has to be a lot of preparation. You got to get the house ready for company. You got to clean the bathrooms, mop the kitchen floor, get the extra beds in. Maybe you need to run across the street and borrow that queen-size air mattress from the friends across the street. You might even go out to Aldi's and buy things in bulk for the Labor Day picnic, like that number 10 can of Hershey's chocolate syrup. That's a lot of syrup, incidentally. You vacuum, you dust, you mow the lawn, you pull the weeds, and then you wait. You look out the window, and you sit on the front porch, and the children are getting hyped. When are they coming? When are they coming? They start bugging you, and the anticipation drives everyone up a wall. Now, especially if one's mother or in-laws are coming, the major question is, what will Grandma think about the house? Will it be clean enough? You know, it really is hard to have one's mother come and live with you for a few days because all those tapes of childhood get replayed dozens of times before her arrival. And, of course, a lot of comic strip ink has been spilled on that subject. So family times can be times of opportunity and tension. There are times when we can renew relationships neglected, try out new forms of behavior, savor remembrances, make new memories, especially for grandchildren awaiting the arrival of grandparents. The time of preparation can be exquisite anticipation. The gospel text for the day reads, "Be ready then, for the Son of Man will arrive at a time when you least expect him." Be ready then. We pretty much know how to get ready for company coming, but how ready are we for a little divine intervention, a little knock of divine opportunity on the door of our lives? And what kind of preparation is necessary for that? Well, I would suggest prepared anticipation. Prepared anticipation. Interesting juxtaposition of words, prepared anticipation. Especially through the eyes of children, we know what prepared anticipation means when company is coming, especially special company from a long way away. But did you notice the twist in the text? Be ready then, for the Son of Man will arrive at an hour when you least expect him. It's one thing to know when company is coming. It's quite another thing to be ready when you least expect the company. And this gives us a window of understanding about how divine opportunity comes. Some say divine opportunity comes through crisis, such as death or divorce or the loss of a job or getting a new job or buying a new house. But notice in this parable of the expectant servants, as it's sometimes called, notice that there is preparedness, there is some anxiety, there's some anticipation, but there is no crisis. Basically, what we have here is a household of servants doing what they're supposed to be doing, getting ready for the master to return. It's a very Semitic story setting. In that ancient culture, the servant lived and breathed to please the master and took great pleasure therein and received fulfillment and meaning from a master's approval. It's kind of like a Downton Abbey scene. This is the lesser pleasing the greater, but it's not servile in the sense of bootlicking. This parable concerns those who find themselves within the household of faith. Now, there are lots of parables in Jesus' stories about outsiders, the Good Samaritan, the woman taken in adultery, not here.
This story is about insiders. It's about us. In this parable, Jesus is creating a deceptively simple analogy. The master is God, and we are the servants. We are those who would seek fulfillment and meaning from divine opportunity, a little godsend in our lives. But remember, it is godsend amidst the normal duties and roles and responsibilities of the servant lifestyle, not in the midst of crisis. It's a little godsend on a normal holiday weekend. So this parable is especially for the regulars. The regular folk who even come to worship on Labor Day Sunday. Congratulations, you are here. So what about us? We who dare to claim to be faithful servants of the household of God. Where is the unexceptional, normal, routine, God-shaped opportunity in our lives? And how do we get ready for it, let alone even recognize it? Well, this parable suggests if we aren't a bit anxious about it, if we aren't looking for it, if we aren't prepared for it, then it's probably not going to happen. When divine opportunity knocks on the door of our lives, we can't be lounging around in our robes, feet up on the ottoman, watching a little TV, or even puttering around in the basement. It's more like children waiting for company with noses pressed to the window, looking for opportunity, looking for meaning, expecting the Christ to come knocking on the door of our lives. And it's a nuanced expectation. Keep in mind that this expectation is not generated because of anxiety about a white glove or a GI inspection. There are other parables about moral cleanup, not here. What this parable is about is a yearning, a longing, a following of one's dreams of being open, yes, and therefore being prepared for the divine knock of opportunity. And it is very easy, it is very possible to have a clean house but not be expecting any guests. And isn't that kind of sad? To sit in splendid isolation of our own domestic purity and to be caught off guard and maybe even a little resentful because of unexpected guests. In America today, we are in the midst of a dilemma of unexpected guests. Apparently, people like America because they're flocking to our doors. And if there was a reservoir of hospitality in America, and I think there is, we would still have a logistical problem. But because of the current climate of xenophobia, of fear of anything foreign, we are treating our unexpected guests with a classic American solution, a solution practiced during World War II, just 25 miles from my childhood home in California. The solution then, as well as now, is internment camps. And the fascinating thing about unexpected guests is the unexpected gifts they bring, which enrich the life of the host. Now, pastors collect articles from newspapers, and so do I. So here is the July 4th edition of page A5 of the New York Times. It's a full page devoted to the gifts of 42 immigrants. And right down there in the bottom, the biggest picture is one of Andrew Carnegie, who was a penniless boy from Scotland when he first came to America. So, for example, we have here an immigrant man from Poland, and he's now the CEO of Honeywell. An immigrant from Mexico, and she's now the founder of Ascend Educational Fund. And we got a refugee from Syria here, who is now a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. And there's a refugee from China here who is a physician, and she's the most recent president of Planned Parenthood. Interesting. Besides being international hosts as specifically Christian hosts, why do we bother to get prepared at all? Why do we bother to be prepared for guests? Why bother to come to worship? Why bother to be involved in outreach in our community? Why bother to study the scripture? Why bother to pray? Why bother to visit the sick and the afflicted? Why bother to work for justice? Because in the midst of our bothering, the Master will come. Opportunity will knock. As the text says, happy are those servants whom the Master finds on the alert when he comes. I tell you this, he will fasten his belt, seat them at the table, and come and wait on them. Wait a minute. Did you notice the switch in roles? The Semitic lord and master of the house comes home, finds the servants ready for him, but then, instead of sitting down in oriental splendor to be served a meal, he himself switches role and he becomes the servant. The servant is served, the waiter becomes the guest, the customer serves the meal to the restaurant staff. It's all very easy to miss. Happy are those servants who the master finds on the alert when he comes. I will tell you this, he will fasten his belt, seat them at the table, and come and wait on them. Talk about role reversal. And role reversal is precisely what happens when America opens its doors with a fair and efficient immigration policy. We who open our nation to the guest are in fact served by the guest. The refugee from Ethiopia becomes the World Food Prize laureate, now a professor at Purdue. That man has enriched the human diet. The migrant from India becomes a transplant surgeon, and so a family friend gets a new kidney. A refugee from India, or rather from Liberia, becomes the mayor of all-white Helena, Montana. An immigrant from Mexico becomes the Archbishop of San Antonio. A refugee from Ecuador, Debbie Muscarel Powell, is now a United States Congresswoman from Florida. And this is precisely the nature of divine opportunity. We all get prepared to serve God, and then God serves us. When we hope and dream and pray and work for the kingdom of God, when we ask for and yearn for and work for change and growth and renewal in our world, then we will find it. But we won't find it unless our preparation is prepared anticipation. Prepared anticipation. Now, you've heard it famously said, whomever seeks will find, and to whomever knocks it will be opened. That's true, but to whoever is open will come the knock. The one who expects will be rewarded. Happy are those servants whom the master finds on the alert when he comes. I tell you this, he will fasten his belt and seat them at the table and come and wait on them. I remember one time when our children were little, and when Grandma and Grandpa and Great Aunt Marcia and all the family were coming to visit, and our little girls were just climbing the walls. When? Days in advance. On the expected day of arrival, I couldn't stand it any longer, so I took them swimming at the local nearby lake, and knowing full well that by the time we got back, that the guests would have arrived and gotten settled in. So by the time we got back from swimming, the guests were there all right, and guess who was serving dinner? Grandma. Thank you. All of us who truly and earnestly repent of our sins and are in love and charity with our neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in His way, let us prepare to take this holy sacrament to our comfort.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and sovereign of the universe. You made us in your image, and though we all have sinned and fall short of your glory, you loved the world so much you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and won for you a new people by water and by the Spirit. He suffered and died for the sin of the world. You raised him from the dead that we too might have new life. He ascended to be with you in glory and, according to his promise, is with us always.
Therefore, O God, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling on you with hope. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, O God, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serving him in the world and looking forward to his coming in final victory. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of which he was arrested, took bread and blessed it and broke it. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner also, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. As long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death until he comes." The table is ready. All are welcome.
Let's pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen. Now it is time in our service when we receive our joys and concerns. And those of you who may have one are invited to speak in the microphone.
Dottie Madal, prayers for all the folks that are being affected by Dorian, and many of those folks are people that we know in this congregation.
Anna Walker, my husband's not here because he got something on the tip of his finger and he had to go to the doctors and they were going to have it lanced and he's on antibiotics and stuff. So it was bothering him today. So he's not here.
Good morning, Eric Vail. Two prayers. My mother had knee replacement surgery this past Monday and is home and doing well. And secondly, my younger brother, who's a pastor at a church in North Carolina, was affected with a mold disease, and it's a somewhat rare thing, and he's been to several doctors. So if you would please pray for my brother Scott as well, that he gets past this mold disease. Thank you.
Good morning, Tess McKeel. A couple of weeks ago, I had asked for prayers for a friend who had had a stroke. And thank you for your prayer. She is off the ventilator now, still not speaking, but is responding to people. So still a long road, but so keep the prayers coming. Thank you.
Jean Buettner, I asked a couple of weeks ago for prayers for a friend of mine, Rusty, who had been diagnosed with liver cancer and pancreatic cancer. So I asked for your continued prayer. She's not well. I saw her the other day, and there isn't much treatment that they're going to be able to do. So she's facing those final decisions and so forth. So prayers for her. Thank you.
And finally, Keith Morgan, I would like to ask for prayers for the people of Hong Kong as they fight for their freedom.
Andrea Unson, prayers for my aunt, Laura Nolan, with health issues. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, it is good to be in this place to uplift our joys and our sorrows and our anxieties to you. We find ourselves living in a world of chaos and conflict. This day we especially remember the folks in Hong Kong as they struggle to articulate and define their liberty vis-a-vis those who would seek to limit it. Give them courage in their struggle for justice. We pray, O God, this day for those who are in the harm's way of Hurricane Dorian. We pray especially for public safety workers and first responders. Keep them keen, keep them alert. We pray for those who are in harm's way that they will be sensible about knowing when to evacuate. We pray for especially children who are in the midst of both of these conflicts, who don't understand what is exactly going on, but can certainly feel the pain and the hurt. We pray for our own country as we move into an election time. We pray for civility of discourse. We pray for justice for people coming to our borders. We pray for justice with people who are already in our borders. We especially pray this day for the citizens of Odessa and Midland, Texas, who have undergone yet another shooting. Gracious God, we have lifted up a number of friends from this church who are in the hospital, recovering from illnesses, confronting illnesses that from which they may not recover. God, give the next of kin and the loved ones a special grace as they attempt to nourish and sustain their loved ones in this time of transition. We pray for this church, O God, as it moves into the fall and looks forward to a new program year without its pastor, Melissa, but with a new opportunity to face the future. We pray, O God, that in the midst of this facing, that this congregation may understand that within a time of transition is both opportunity and danger, and give them discernment to distinguish between the two. All of these prayers we lift up to you because you initially taught us all to pray as children, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The morning offering will now be received, and please remember to sign the hospitality register.
Pray. God of abundance, we bring this offering knowing that every gift we have comes from you. We confess we don't know how much is enough, but we follow your word and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, always seeking to know you and your path for us. Let it be known that we are your people, and bless these gifts in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
I suppose it's no accident that we're saying come labor on Labor Day Sunday, right? It was not an accident. But on the last verse, you know, it says, and glad comes with the setting sun, well done, as if that God is saying well done to us. At the end of life, that's good. But also, I think it's important as we go out and do the work of the church and we work in the world, we serve and do justice, it's important that when we go home at the end of the day, we can say to ourselves, well done. And that's very satisfying. So, go out and do well. Go out into the world in peace and have courage. And hold fast to that which is good. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Comfort the mourners. House the homeless. Feed the hungry. Visit the sick. Comfort the mourning. And go in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.